Awesome. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm so glad you guys are here with us. My name is Clayton, and I'm the lead pastor here at Central. And so I'm pumped that you're here with us in person. If you're watching online, thank you again for being here. Man, it's been a crazy last 12 hours, hasn't it? I mean, I was asleep. I was praying about my sermon and dreaming. No, I wouldn't. I was just asleep. And I was woken up by the sirens, and I'm sure you guys were as well. And it was just kind of a crazy time. And man, praise the Lord. We weren't hit, but you know, the Claremore was. And so I just wanted to invite you this week to be praying for them and that community, our neighbors. And it was a tough night last night. But also, you know, this weekend being Memorial Day weekend, it's time to be together and celebrate. And I'm just surprised y'all are here. Honestly, that's kind of what I'm trying to say. Just surprised that you're here. I thought it was going to be me and the band, and that was it today, but you guys are here, so thank you so much. If you have your Bibles, we'll be in Nehemiah, so the Old Testament, so if you have them, you can go ahead and turn there right now if you want to, over the last several weeks, we're going to finish up today, by the way, our sermon series, but over the last several weeks, we've been talking about Nehemiah and his life and what all he did, and to kind of make a long story short, Nehemiah was a Hebrew who heard about what was going on in Jerusalem. The walls were torn down and they needed to be rebuilt. God's city needed to be fixed. And so he goes back, he gets the people together, and they are able to accomplish that task with God's help. And what's really interesting about Nehemiah and other stories in the Bible is that they're normal people just living normal lives, trusting in the Lord, and so are we. And their stories can be like parallels to our story and our life, and we can learn from them. That's what we're going to do today. So Nehemiah, his people, they find their purpose. They begin the work. Then they face opposition, and I want us to look at verse 10 of chapter 4. So Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10. We'll have all the verses up here on the screen, but if you want to use your Bible, that's great too. But here we go. So here's what the Bible says. Nehemiah is telling the story, and he says, "Then the people of Judah began to complain." So it wasn't long after they started the work on the wall, they started to complain. It said this: "The workers are getting tired, and there's so much rubble to be moved. We will never be able to build the wall by ourselves." And I underline that right there because I think that is something that we say a lot as well in our lives. Look, I'll never be able to do that. This task that I have to do, this project that I'm doing, what God is doing in my life, there's no way that I'm able to accomplish what I feel like God has put on my heart. Do you know that there's a kind of a famous saying that speaks a lot about that? It's this, that everything looks like failure in the middle. I want you to think about your projects you've done at your house. You get to that point where it's just kind of like, and we're never going to finish. I think about my house. And Holly and I, several months ago, we decided to start on this really simple project that was going to take like the weekend? I mean, real easy. And it was just, we're going to redo some of our bathroom, put some shiplap up on two walls. It'll be easy, they say, right? And so we get everything ready and we work on it. And we're still working on it today. And then we're stuck in the middle, and it feels like it's not going to happen. And then I go and do something stupid and hurt my arm and have to have a surgery, and like I'm going to be out for 5 months and not be able to lift anything. And so, I mean, Holly, you're going to have to do this all on your own, babe. I know I just need to stay out of your way, because if I try to get in there and support you or help you, whatever, it's just going to go bad. It's just going to go bad. So y'all can pray for Holly. She's got a lot of work to do. But it's just like, you know how it is when you're doing a project, it never seems to end, you know, and it's going to take many, many weeks longer than you think it's going to take. It's just, that's how it kind of seems like it always is in life. And that's kind of like these people, God's people, they were stuck in the middle of a project. And they said, man, we're never going to be able to finish this. And here's a truth this morning that we need to realize. We're all building something, aren't we? I mean, I want you to think about your life. Maybe you're building your home. Maybe you're building a business or a career or your 401k or you're building your education, your knowledge right now. You're building relationships. You're building your family. Every single one of us, in fact, we're probably building multiple things all at once. And my encouragement to you today is this: don't quit. On the purpose that God has called you to, don't quit. And if you're a believer in Jesus in this room or watching right now, let me just tell you this. Your purpose is tied to God's purpose. No matter what you're called to do, whether you're a mom or a dad or a grandparent or a student or a business leader, whatever you are called to do in this life, your purpose is actually to use that to make much of Jesus in your life. That's what God has called you to do. So don't quit on that purpose, even when it feels like, man, you're tired. How many of you guys are kind of weary right now? Okay, everybody else, you're too tired to raise your hand. I get it. Like, you're just weary right now, right? Like, I mean, it seems like always life is difficult and we're tired. And the big question for us today is that when we're weary, how do we keep moving forward? And this story is going to teach us how we can actually do that. That when we're weary, when we need to keep moving forward, what do we need to do? Well, first off, we see this in this verse we just looked at, that we need to focus on the right thing. We need to focus on God's ability, not our own ability. And if you look at that story, this passage, verse 10, that's what they were doing. They were focusing not on God, they were focusing on themselves. We can't do this. This is too much. It's too much for me. It's too much for my family. It's too much for our people, our group. We can't do this. What we need to do is we need to actually start looking at God's ability, what God can do in your life, instead of what you can't do. Because he can do some incredible things in your life. And he loves to use you to make much of him in this world. In fact, he loves to use ordinary people. And I look out in this room, and I see just a bunch of losers, right? And I'm a loser too. I look at myself in the mirror. I'm a loser too. I looked at myself in the mirror this morning. We're just a bunch of losers. We're ordinary people. And there's no way we can accomplish what God has called us to do in this life without him. You just can't do it. You need him. And the first step to be able to overcome weariness is to focus on God's ability. Don't focus on your inability. And so that's exactly what the people did. They had a change of heart, and then they started to do something different. Look at verse 13 and 14. Here's what it says. Nehemiah's telling us what he did. It says, so I placed armed guards behind the lowest parts of the wall in the exposed areas. I stationed the people to stand guard by families, and they were armed with swords, spears, and bows. Then as I looked over the situation, I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, look, don't be afraid of the enemy. Why are you scared? Why are you so weary? Why do you think you can't do this? Look, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord. Put your focus on the Lord. It was great and glorious. And then he says this, and fight. Look, there is a personal responsibility that every single one of us has in our purpose. We have something to do that God has called us to. And look what Nehemiah says to fight for. I love this. He says this, fight for your family. Fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Fight for things that you're passionate about. Which teaches us another truth today, that if you're weary and you're looking at how to continue in this journey, if you're like, man, I'm at the halfway point and I can't do this, here's what we gotta do. We gotta believe passionately in something. In fact, something specific that's near to your heart and your home. And that's exactly what was going on with Nehemiah. He said, hey, I want you to fight, not for people that you don't know, not for a purpose that's not your purpose. Fight for your purpose. Fight for the people that are close to you. Let me ask you a really dumb question. How much do you love your family? Everybody's like, yeah, of course I love my family. I'd do anything for my family. Let me ask this. How much do you love Jesus? Thank you. I heard that. What would you be willing to give up for him? What would you be willing to sacrifice for your family to do for those that you love the most? I think this story is actually giving us permission to get emotional and passionate about the things that matter most to us. I mean, think about this. Are you willing to die to yourself for those things? Are you willing to sacrifice for your family like that, to die to yourself? Are you willing to die to yourself when it comes to your relationship with the Lord and what he's called you to do in this life? Are you willing to sacrifice for him? Look, when you're weary, you're like, man, I just don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, first you got to focus on, on the Lord and his abilities, not your own. But then you got to get passionate about something. Everybody in this room should have a passion that God is giving you. Maybe it is for your family. Maybe it is for a cause. Maybe you want to make Jesus famous in your life. Whatever that passion is, man, run into it. God has given you that for a reason. But here's something I know about passion. Passion will only get you so far. I mean, when you're really passionate about something, but you're just not getting any traction, what do you actually do? In Nehemiah's story, this story of the people, is going to teach us one final truth, that we need to also confidently lock arms with one another. Look, you're not supposed to do this alone. It reminds me of playing Red Rover when we were little. Everybody do that, right? Played Red Rover, and you get your friends together, and you lock arms, and you're like, Red Rover, Red Rover. And you're like, who is the scrawniest guy out there, okay? It's Billy. Red Rover, let Billy come over. And Billy is this little dude, and he starts running because he's trying to save face. He likes that girl. He's like, I can't back down. And he runs, and you're confident, right? You're like, we got this. And so you lock arms tight. You get that back foot ready, and he just gets clotheslined, you know, and just gets taken out. Everybody laughs at him. You're like, come join our team, right? And so now you got more of us. But it always happens where there's like that one dude that's like a future D1, you know, lineman. And you got to eventually call his name. You're like, this is going to go bad. It's going to go real bad. And he's salivating over there. He's getting ready. And you're just like, all right, you're like, ah. And he starts running. You're like, please, Lord, pray he doesn't come towards me. And he starts coming, and he comes between you and your friend. And what do you do at the last minute? You bail, right? You're like, it's not worth it. You know, it's not worth it, because you lose confidence. And the truth is that, look, you and I, we can't do anything together without the Lord. He is our confidence. And that's what we need to do. We need to confidently lock arms, knowing that God is in control. And what he's trying to do through this church, what he's trying to do in your life, we need each other, and we can confidently lock arms together because God is in control. And we need to be together. We need each other. And that's exactly what happens in this verse. Look at the next verse 15. Here's what he says. He says, when our enemies heard that we knew of their plans and that God had frustrated them, meaning God was on our side, when we recognized that, here's what we did. We all returned to our work on the wall. Not some of us, not just leaders, not the great craftsmen, every single person, all of us, we had that confidence. We locked arms and we went together. And the next verses explain how they did that. It's pretty interesting. Here's what it says. But from then on, only half of my men worked, while the other half stood guard with spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. The leaders stationed themselves behind the people of Judah who were building the wall. And it goes on and says that the laborers carried on their work with one hand supporting their load and one hand holding a weapon. And all the builders had a sword belted to their side. And even the trumpeter stayed with me to sound the alarm. Now, what in the world does all that mean? Well, first, it is talking about protection. Everybody was protecting each other. But I want you to look at all the different jobs that there were. All the different people that had different skills. And they all worked together. They were holding arms together tightly with confidence. Did you know that there were 10 gates they had to rebuild? That's a lot of gates. Big, giant gates. And there were 40 different sections of the wall. What does that teach us? You know what it teaches us? Is that it's too much for one person. It's even too much for one family. And so God had a plan. And Nehemiah recognized that and began to implement it. You know what they did? They looked out and said, what is everybody good at? How has God gifted you? They determined the skill level of the different people and put them in the places where they could be best used. And everyone was involved. They were trusting in each other. And I think about like this for our church, and even any church in general, that churches need to not only lock arms together as churches, but inside the church, the people need to lock arms together. We need to all have all of us serving and being a part of what God is doing. Look, we need at Central and in every single church, we need leaders. We need people that are skilled workers, people that have administrative skills, child development skills. We need prayer warriors and missionaries and counselors and evangelists. We need protectors. We need mentors and teachers. We need all these different kinds of people serving together Because alone, we're not going to do anything. You're not going to be able to accomplish the purpose that God has for you all alone. But together, we can do incredible things in Jesus' name. Like reaching our neighborhoods. You can't do it alone. Reaching the next generation. Helping kids meet Jesus. Helping them grow in Jesus. Sharing the gospel around the world. You can't do that on your own. In fact, that is a monumental task that seems overwhelming. It's so overwhelming, it can paralyze you from doing anything. And so here's what I want to do today. I just want to invite you. Whether you're a part of Central or you're just visiting today, I want to invite you to join God's work. Look, if you're a part of the church, go and be a part of that church. Be plugged into that church. If God has brought you here, be plugged in here. Be a part of God's work. We need you. And the truth is that you actually need us. You need the church. We need each other. The truth is because the community, there's tons of things that need to happen in our community. The needs are incredible in our community. And the reason they're incredible and the reason they're many is because we live in a broken world. And that world needs Jesus. And that's actually our mission at Central, is to give Jesus to our world. Our world needs to hear about Jesus. Whether that's here locally or all around the world. Look, the lost needs to hear about Jesus. The hurting, the desperate, your family, your kids, their friends, your friends, your neighbors. Everyone needs to hear about Jesus. People around the world have never heard about him. They need to hear about him too. That's too much for one person to do. And that's why Nehemiah's story teaches us we need to lock arms together. And that's exactly what happened. So when Nehemiah's people, when they focused on God, and they had like a group passion to, this is what we're called to do, to work. And they joined together. There was a great result. And I've been waiting all month to show you this last verse, okay? So Nehemiah 6, look what happens in Nehemiah 6:15. It says, so on October 2nd, the wall was finished. Finally. I mean, our sermon series almost as long as it took for them to build the wall, right? So the wall was finished just 52 days after we had begun. It only took them 52 days. Did you know that they were working on that for 90 years? 90 years. They were trying piecemeal fashion to put this wall together, and it was not working until they all got together and trusted in the Lord, not in themselves. They put their focus on God. They said, we're going to do this together, and they had a plan. They were passionate about it together, and God was behind it. In 52 days, they built the wall, which is pretty awesome, but that is actually not what Nehemiah is all about. The book of Nehemiah is not about the wall. It's about you, God's people. And the fact that you can't do it alone. You cannot fulfill God's purpose for your life by yourself. We need each other. That's what the church is about coming together and serving for a purpose together. And also supporting each other with what God has called you to do individually and as a family. We want to support one another so we can live out God's purposes in our lives. You know what? Nehemiah also teaches us that we need him. We need God. We need Jesus, because Jesus is the greatest finisher of all. On the cross, he said, it is finished. You know, Jesus came on this earth, lived a perfect life, and he didn't end there. Can you imagine what your life, what our society, what the world would look like if Jesus halfway through said, I'm tired, I'm done. He's not done. He completed the task. He got up on the cross and died to pay for your sins. But then he wasn't even finished then. 3 days later, he rose from the grave to show that he's not just Savior, but he's also the Lord of all things. He is God himself. He has the ability to conquer death. But then he wasn't done then. He established the church so that the rest of the world can know about him and they may be saved. But didn't leave the church hanging. He gives them the Holy Spirit. God is still working. He's still moving. Jesus is an incredible finisher, and he is on our side. And he is building his kingdom. He's building his kingdom through churches like Central and through your life. But you know what it takes? It takes action. You have a role to play in God's kingdom, in your life. I mean, think about it. The people didn't just say, okay, we're trusting the Lord, and we're waiting for the bricks to just fall from the sky with mortar, and it's just going to be perfectly lined up and build a wall, and God, you get the glory for it. No, that's not how God works. God uses people to accomplish his purpose. And those people went into action. You know what the beauty of your life is? That God can use you to do something bigger than you could ever do by yourself. What is that? What is your purpose? I want to encourage you to do something. This summer, it's going to get a little crazy. A lot of you guys go on vacation. You go do your own thing. This summer, you may have a lot of projects and all these plans for your life. But let me just encourage you to do something. This summer, maybe you need to make some changes in your life. What changes need to be made for you to begin to live out, to continue, to not grow weary, but to run the race that God has called you to do? Are there some changes in your life that need to be made? There's some things you need to get rid of that are keeping you from being that mom or that dad that God's called you to be, that business leader where you're not just trying to make money anymore, you're actually trying to use the gifts that God has given you to make much of him. What needs to change? Maybe some of us need to actually start taking some risks instead of just doing the same thing every year over and over. We're scared because we're not really trusting the Lord in it. We're trusting ourselves. And the people were the same way. They were scared until they realized God is in control and he can do it. But we're called to act as well. This summer, will you embrace your purpose? Look, maybe your purpose is to serve other people and to tell them about Jesus. Look, the church, Central and other churches, that's a great place for that to happen. We're not meant to live life alone. We're to do this together. Everybody has their part on the wall. Your family has their part on the wall. And together we can do incredible things through God's work. And you see this in here, the result. We saw that in the last verse. The result is that the wall was finished. God did something incredible they could not do on their own. The same thing for your life. This summer, what needs to change? What risks do you need to take to live out your purpose? I don't know what it is. God does. You and God, you know what that is. What changes need to be made so you can begin to live out that purpose? That is my prayer for you. In fact, I'd like to do this. I just want to pray for you right now. Would you bow your heads? I want to pray for you and your family, the summer and what that looks like. Man, I know there's a lot of people in here that are weary, and I'm weary, tired, got to need you. I wonder if you're the same way. Lord, you never grow weary, but we do. So God, in our relationship with you, we need to surrender that, to try to do things in our own strength, our own will, our own knowledge and our own wisdom, making decisions on our own, trying to parent without you in the middle of it, trying to earn a living without you in the middle of it, trying to grow up as a young person without you in the middle of it. We're fools without you. I pray for every single person listening to this and every family, Lord, that you would help us to see what all you can do. Show us. Give us examples, God. Help us to understand and truly grasp your wisdom, your power, your knowledge, your might, the things that you can do if we will trust you. We will take risks. Instead of focusing in on our own selves, we would focus in on you, God, and that we would also work hard and partner with you. Give us a passion for something beyond ourselves. We can make much of Jesus in our lives. Thank you for Nehemiah and his and the people and the story and them building something that seems so simple as a wall, but their actions and their trust in you is so profound. It can teach us so much. God, help us to be able to do more than we could ever do by ourselves. And thank you, Jesus, that you gave us the church, that we can do this together. I pray for our unity. I pray for your strength to just flow through us, that we will not be about us. We would never, ever take the glory, but it'll be all for you. God, use us. Bless us. Help us to trust you. And I pray, God, if anyone's in this room that's never actually put their full faith in you, that today might be the day of salvation, that they would have heard the gospel that Jesus died for them to pay for their sins. They would take that step of salvation and trust, God, and say yes to you. You'd forgive them and change them and give them a new purpose in this life, that you may be glorified. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're super glad that you decided to join us today. And if this was your first time here at Central, we just want to say welcome to the family. We were super glad that you're here. If you're someone who during the message thought, you know what, I want to know more about Christ. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to know what it means to be forgiven, then we want to connect with you. The easiest way is to text FORGIVEN to 94,000. That way, one of our ministers can reach out to you and you can begin this conversation of knowing more about God. Here at Central, we truly believe that Jesus changes everything. We'll see you next time.